This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Bill Clinton was too busy to join us on this President's Day, but we do have political impressionist Jim Morris. He's done his impressions of Bill Clinton at comedy clubs, on CNN's Crossfire, The Tonight Show, and the White House. President Clinton is just one of many political figures that Morris has down. I asked Jim Morris if President's Day is a busy day for him.
It's one of reflection. I mean, I feel like it's my holiday because I've played so many presidents.
Right.
I was a president in high school. I was my class president for 2 years, my junior and senior. And I was reelected because I ran a good, clean administration.
So you were a president before you started impersonating them?
Yeah, I must have had this thing for presidents. And now I expect the same of our elected officials as I expected of my own administration. No diverting funds to the school bullies or anything like that.
Really? Well, let me ask you to get into character as President Clinton for a bit. How has life changed for you with a Republican Congress?
Well, the good news is now we have, there's a contrast. You can look and see just how more compassionate I feel that we are and what we want to do. For instance, the new Speaker of the House and his contract with America. By the way, I think I should say that I'm glad that he cares more about his contract with America now than his contract with Australia. That book deal is, I know he's getting a lot of money, but he's Speaker of the House. What house? Publishers Clearing House. But seriously, let me just tell you that I feel your pain. When you have to choose between guns or butter, you look and see he doesn't have compassion for the homeless. I do. We have a new program that I'm submitting to Congress. It's called Bring a Bum to Brunch Day. And this is not another one of those budget busters. It's a partnership between the private sector and government. This will not cost a lot of money. You see, you people in the private sector will bring a bum of your choice to brunch, and the government picks up the tip in the form of a tax credit. And I think this will go a long way to solving the problems.
Do you think Newt Gingrich is an effective Speaker of the House? Is he rallying support to his contract?
Well, he sure blows a lot of hot air as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, a lot of ethics questions, a lot of misstatements and all this stuff about, I mean, what he said about my wife. Can you believe it? Well, at least there's one thing we both agree on. Just kidding.
Mr. President, a lot of people say that presidents in America today end up being removed from the rest of society and therefore don't really understand what's happening. But you've had an experience that a lot of Americans have been sharing, and that is people shooting at your house. What has it been like to have snipers shooting at the White House?
Well, it's a very humbling experience, I'll tell you that. It is very difficult to comprehend why anybody would want to do something like that. And that's why I'm glad that we signed that crime bill. 30 years ago, we had 3 policemen for every crime committed in this great country of ours. And today, there are 3 crimes for every policeman. Just a few years ago, in Surf City, USA alone, there were 2 girls for every boy. And today, it takes 5 bowls of regular cereal just to equal the vitamins and minerals in 1 bowl of total. I say we can do better.
Have you read the new biography of you?
No, I haven't. I'm waiting for the movie to come out, actually.
Who's going to play you in the movie?
Who's going to play me? I hear there's some comedian up there making fun of me all the time. He just has to eat a bit more. Actually, I've been doing pretty good in my diet. My doctor tells me to eat well, which I do. Get plenty of exercise, which I do, and try to avoid any kind of a draft, which so far I haven't had a problem with, you see, because my voice is always cracking.
Jim Morris, back to you. How has doing Bill Clinton changed for you in the time that Clinton has become president?
Well, as with any impression of a politician or a national figure, it takes the audience time to register and identify with the character. I could be the first on the block to have the impression down pat, and people, if they don't get the references, if they don't understand that, you know, it's a good impression, then I'm too far ahead of the audience. So basically, early on, you know, you dealt with sound bites that were recognizable, and now the character's quite a bit more fleshed out because we have a lot more information about his private life and the stands he's taken on various issues, and he's part of the fabric now of our national life.
Do you see him differently than you did when he first became president?
No, not really, because I think that I'm very perceptive about characters, and I work from the inside out, so I really try to feel and think the way the character thinks. So I do my homework before I even get the impression together. So the basic character of the man was established when he was 12 years old. I mean, basically, it hasn't changed, but there's been a lot more twisting in the wind and a lot more material available since he's been in office, and that gives me a lot to work with.
So what do you consider to be the keys to his character that you can work with as an impressionist?
A sort of concern and you know, whether it's mock or not, but I care. I care, my fellow Americans, and I want to do the job that we think we should do in the next century. You know, really, like, he's a great speaker. He's a great politician. He's very smart, and I like that. He's very attractive, and that gives me a lot to work with, and it becomes a polarizing effect for an audience. And it's tougher when you're doing other politicians that people either don't know as well or that are blander. For instance, Lamar Alexander, I don't know what I would pick up on yet. On the other hand, Phil Graham is real easy already. I want a tax cut that we're not going to end up paying for with higher interest rate. You know, he's very exaggerated already.
Let me ask Phil Graham a question.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Graham was at that Republican fundraiser last night in New Hampshire, the kind of really early kickoff of the campaign. And he said, unlike the current president, I know who I am. So my question is, Phil Graham, who are you?
I was a nerd before being a nerd was cool.
He said he was a conservative before being a conservative was cool. Actually, between you and me, I just start with phrases and sentences, and then I work to paragraphs. And so at this point, that work in progress is limited to just a few sound bites.
One of the Republicans in the race is Bob Dole. Now, he's been at the forefront of Republican politics for a long time, so I imagine you have him down already.
Yeah. Well, Bob Dole is sort of repackaging. He wants us to see him as a nice guy, an everyman's kind of guy, and I just wrote this piece of material for him.
Well, I can't play the saxophone, but just to show I get a sense of humor about myself, I think I'll bare my butt on NYPD Blue.
Well, talk to me about Bob Dole, about getting his voice and what you pick up on in his personality.
Oh, I can't really describe it. It's one of these things that I just do in his case. Sort of a wry sense of humor, very droll. I can't describe it. I just do it. And there's another work in progress that if he were to become the party's nominee, that I would launch full-fledged into the campaign as I would become Bob Dole for a half hour at a time.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Jim Morris. He's a satirist and political impressionist. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Back with political impressionist Jim Morris. Now, where are you in perfecting your Newt Gingrich?
I'm a couple weeks away, and until I'm ready, it's really hard for me to do it, because what happens is, you know, when I go on television or even radio and do an impression that I will end up doing for a few years, anytime they rerun the program or somebody tapes it and looks at it again, I just can't live with a second-rate job, so I'm waiting until it's ready.
I mean, you have to do Newt Gingrich for you to have a political life right now, right?
Yes, I have bills to pay.
So how are you going about learning Gingrich?
Well, I watch tapes. I watch them on C-SPAN, which is
There's plenty of opportunities to watch him.
Yeah, he's really out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the sound, the comedy comes from his sound bites that get taken out of context or maybe not. And the meat of it really is listening to him for like an hour. And he can talk that long, no problem. And I like him in the sense that he's very smart, very knowledgeable, knows history. I find myself lately reading up on a lot of history so that I can sort of challenge him in my own mind. No, Jefferson did not mean that when he said that about tyranny and God and all that. You know, so he's a challenge because he's very smart, and I don't agree with him on most things, but you listen to him for a half hour at a time and you say, well, you know, he does have some very good ideas, and he is a formidable presence. And things have changed with him in Washington.
Now, when you're working on your Newt Gingrich impression, are you picking up mostly on his voice, on his mannerisms,
else? The voice is crucial, but body language also. And I find with him, I'm at the point now where I've got to get the voice because I already know his mindset and... also have to, you know, write a lot of material for him, but the material will be easy compared to getting the voice. Before the voice comes, the attitude has to be there, the essence of the guy, and I'm real close on that, and then I figure the voice will follow suit.
Is there anything really pronounced about the voice that you can pick up on, or is it harder to grasp than, say, Bill Clinton, who has that raspiness Southern accent?
Bill Clinton was very difficult. Most of them are very difficult at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rare gift when someone like a Paul Tsongas comes by.
You know, economic truth. I live in the private sector, and now I'm working with the Concord Coalition.
And Phil Graham. But usually they're very difficult. Bill Clinton was very difficult. I remember Reagan was very difficult. Bush wasn't as difficult for me.
But Ronald Reagan... of course, you know, I was asked what I thought about Newt Gingrich. And I think he's a fine fellow. He said that he stands on my shoulders. No wonder I have a bad back.
I know you performed at the White House a few months ago, and I believe that the president and vice president were there and saw you?
Well, yes, it was a sort of an impromptu thing. I was meeting with the vice president and...
You were meeting with him?
Well, sure. I surprised him. They were throwing a surprise birthday party for him. And I called up as President Clinton on speakerphone and totally fooled him until I said, hey, one more thing, Al. And he said, yes, Bill. Keep your grubby little hands off my desk while I'm in California. And there was this silence, and then everybody started laughing. They had cabinet members in there in the Roosevelt room and everything. So it went over really well, and they told me, hey, the vice president would love to meet you the next time you're in Washington. And so I was meeting with him, and he brought me into the Oval Office, and it was just the three of us in there for a while, and I was goofing on both of them. It was hilarious.
Said, hey, look, say it looks the same as when I let, same pictures in the same carpet, same... There's that stain we could never get out from Billy Carter over there. And it was just hilarious.
And then some people came in for a national security meeting, and I went into my Clinton impression. I said, come on, y'all know where to sit. Let's go. It was just a great experience.
So was this the first time you got to do Clinton and Gore with them being present?
Yes. Yes.
Is that always a nerve-wracking experience for you because you don't know if they'll think it's
funny? For me, it's like playing in the... Oh, for me, it's the World Series. It's making it to the World Series. When you can do an impression of someone to their face and they happen to be the leader of the free world...
Right.
and survive to tell about it. Because I think that if I lived in another century, another country, another culture, this just wouldn't be permitted. And I can do for a living what I used to get sent to the principal's office for as a kid. I think it's great.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for having me.
Jim Morris is a political satirist and impressionist. This is Fresh Air.